How many have ever heard a message on Matthew chapter 9, verses 36 through 38? Raise your hand. How many of you?
Matthew 9, 36 through 38. A lot of you haven't heard a message on that? I would think probably just about everybody in this room has heard a message on that passage at least once. If not, I would say, I don't know how many times I've heard a message on that passage in my lifetime, and I still need it. How about maybe in 2 Corinthians chapter 7, how many have ever heard a message on repentance from 2 Corinthians chapter 7? Before I preached last 3 weeks ago. Okay, I would think you've at least heard it referred to or something, but my guess is you probably haven't heard a message from 2 Corinthians 7 verses 12 through 16 before. How many ever heard a message on that passage that they can remember? You know, maybe somebody has. It's not necessarily one of those passages that people just, you know, turn to in evangelistic service or in a missions conference or just in a passage that gets hit often. Maybe like Romans 12, 1 and 2. How many have ever heard a message on that passage before? Yeah, just about everyone. So hopefully tonight we can look at this passage. We know that all Scripture, you know, is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. And in this passage tonight, we're going to look at five truths that each believer needs to recognize that will encourage the spiritual advancement of the church. I think we see some truths in this passage that can help the church to go forward spiritually. Now, in the passage before, the Word of God hit on the topic of repentance. And many times we think of repentance merely in a salvific or in relating to salvation. We find that repentance is not just something that happens at salvation, but it's something that happens in the lives of believers. You know, when there's a sin in our life, we need to repent of it. It's not something that ends. And the Corinthian believers, there was something that they had to repent of. And then we come to verse number 12 in this passage. And the Apostle Paul, through the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, is writing unto them and says, "Wherefore, though I wrote unto you, I did it not for his cause that had done the wrong, nor for his cause that suffered wrong." If you think back to 1 Corinthians chapter 5, there was a sin that had taken place in the church. And if this is what the Apostle Paul is referring to, if we remember back in that passage, he said, "Purge out therefore the old leaven, that ye may be a new lump, as ye are unleavened." And we're reminded of the fact that a little leaven does what? A little leaven leaveneth the whole lump, he said in verse number 6 of that passage. "Your glorying is not good. Know ye not that a little leaven leaveneth the whole lump?" So the Apostle Paul here is writing to them. Then he says he wasn't just writing to them for the sake of the person that had done wrong or for the sake that of the person that had been wronged. But he says, "But that our care for you in the sight of God might appear unto you." This was a problem that affected the whole church. Verse number 13. "Therefore we were comforted in your comfort. Yea, and exceedingly the more joyed we for the joy of Titus, because his spirit was refreshed by you all. For if I have boasted anything to him of you, I am not ashamed. But as we spake all things to you in truth, even so our boasting, which I made before Titus, is found a truth. And his inward affection is more abundant toward you, whilst he remembered the obedience of you all, how with fear and trembling ye received him. I rejoice therefore that I have confidence in you in all things."
The first truth that I'd like us to look at in this passage that will encourage the spiritual advancement of this church is the fact that our actions affect others. Our actions affect others. He says, but that our care for you in the sight of God might appear unto you. And this sin had happened in the Corinthian church, but you know, it was not a sin that just affected the person who had been wronged. But this was a sin that was affecting the entire congregation. What did he say? A little leaven leaveneth the whole lump. In Ephesians chapter 4, familiar passage, but it says here, I'd like to read it. Why don't you turn there? Ephesians 4, verses 15 and 16. Ephesians 4, 15 and 16. It says, but speaking the truth in love, may grow up into him in all things, which is the head, even Christ, from whom the whole body fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplieth, according to the effectual working in the measure of every part, maketh increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. What do we see here? We see that the body is what? It's fitly joined together. Every part has a role. All right, and one of those parts is not functioning correctly, or what? Well, it affects the body. Think of your body. Think of getting an infection. Now, you can get an infection in one part of your body. You know, so you get an infection, maybe it's in your leg, and you just maybe cover it up. You get a little makeup or something, and you put it on the wound. You say, well, it doesn't look like I have a wound anymore. Looks like it's all gone. You know, maybe it's somewhere that can be seen. Maybe it's on your arm or something. And you get an infection in your arm. You're like, well, I don't want anybody to see that. So I'm just going to, you know, cover it up. And so people don't think of my arm in a bad fashion. Well, what's that going to do? It's not going to do any good. You know, but is that how we treat issues in the church? Well, let's just put a little makeup on them. You know, so it looks okay. And then what happens with that infection? It eventually spreads to the what? The whole body. And your whole body is what? Your heart is harmed. You know, sin works much the same way. And the Apostle Paul had great concern for the Corinthian church. You know, and it wasn't just that the little sore, so to speak, didn't look bad anymore. But he was concerned for the spiritual well-being of this congregation because he recognized that this sin was going to hinder the spiritual advancement of this church and was going to bring it down spiritually. You know, I wonder, is that the same attitude that we have? You know, many times we think we can get involved in something and it's only going to affect our life. It's only going to affect your life, or it's only going to affect my life, or it's only going to affect just our family. But you know, that's not the way the church operates. When one sin, we find that this sin was going to what? Affect the whole body. And the Apostle Paul recognized that. And he wanted them to understand the care and the concern that he had for the whole congregation. And so in order for the whole congregation to be benefited, what had to happen? This sin had to be dealt with. So we need to, in order to realize the spiritual advancement that needs to take place in the church, we must understand that our actions affect others. Paul realized that this sin in the body would affect the whole body and thus was concerned for the welfare of the church. You know, do you have that same care and concern? You know, spiritual leaders, what are they going to, they're going to be concerned about an issue that's going on. Why?
Because it's not just going to affect that family, but it's going to affect the congregation. As we continue on, though, notice verse 13. Thankfully, the Corinthian believers responded correctly. And it says in verse 13, it says, "Therefore, we were comforted, we were encouraged in your comfort," or in your encouragement. Notice here, "Therefore, we were comforted in your comfort." Where was the comfort of the Corinthian believers found in? What was it based on? Why were they encouraged? Why were they comforted? You would think, boy, the Apostle Paul comes and nails them. That doesn't sound like encouragement to me. Well, no, why was their comfort there? Why was that their encouragement that then the Apostle Paul was comforted and he was encouraged? Well, it's because the Corinthians obeyed and followed through with the instruction that they were given by the Apostle Paul. And so what do we find? We find that obedience brings what? Obedience brings blessing. You know, if you want the church to advance spiritually, what needs to take place in its members? Obedience. That's what brings blessing. That's what brings encouragement. You want to be encouraged in your life spiritually? Then guess what you need to do? You need to obey.
Amen.
Just a simple truth. "Therefore, we were comforted in your comfort." Guess what? The people responded to the reproof of the Apostle Paul and they were downcast. No, they were encouraged. And many times we have the wrong viewpoint. We think, oh, that person's always getting down on me. Well, guess what? If you would listen to that person, you would be encouraged. If you would simply obey and follow through with the instruction and with the reproof that is being sent your way. And not only will you be encouraged, but guess what? The person that is trying to encourage you will also be encouraged. You know, and imagine if, you know, one person's being encouraged, the next person's being encouraged, and what happens? You know, what is the whole church is encouraged. The whole church is exhorted to go forward. And you know, it's in, and Thomas pointed this verse out in the men's meeting yesterday, but Hebrews 10:25, "Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another." And so much the more as you see the day approaching. Well, you know what one way you can exhort one another is? Through obedience to the Scriptures. And when you obey the Scriptures, guess what? You're going to be encouraged yourself, and you're also going to encourage others. And you'll find that obedience will bring blessing in your life. Notice what he says, "Yea, and exceedingly the more." "Yea, and exceedingly the more joyed we for the joy of Titus." Notice the joy that was brought into the church. My father-in-law has a message that he preaches, and Satan's greatest, I can't remember the exact title, greatest tool or something like that, and it's on the sin of discouragement, or I think that's what it is, sin of discouragement. You know, Satan likes us to get discouraged. He wants to get us downcast, and he wants us even more than that to think that we're downcast because maybe somebody's picking on us. Because he doesn't want us to what? He doesn't want to turn us to turn around and start doing what's right. Because if we turn around and start doing what's right, guess what? We're going to be encouraged. And we're going to be encouraged to live for God. And our encouragement to live for God is going to be an encouragement to someone else to keep going forward for the Lord. And so he says here, "And exceedingly the more joyed we for the joy of Titus." And it says, "Because his spirit was refreshed by you all." No, right responses to reproof bring refreshment. The first truth, our actions affect others. Number two, obedience brings blessing. It brings encouragement to others. Number three, right responses to reproof bring refreshment. This is how the church advances spiritually. Titus' spirit was what? Titus' spirit was refreshed by the people of Corinth. Let's look at a couple of verses in the New Testament, in the Word of God, on refreshment. Let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter 16. Verses 17 and 18. First Corinthians 16:17-18. It says, I am glad of the coming of Stephanas and Fortunatus and Achaicus, for that which was lacking on your part, they have supplied. For they have refreshed my spirit and yours. Therefore acknowledge ye them that are such. So here the Apostle Paul was refreshed by these people. Refreshment. You know, sometimes we have refreshments. You know, what do refreshments do? They help us to what? Keep going, right? Refreshments. I mean, we're going to have some refreshments after this activity. All right, and maybe you're tired out and you get that, you know, sugar, whatever it is, and it gives you maybe some instant energy. I don't know how much refreshment it gives you. But anyways, refreshment. I think we kind of understand the idea of being refreshed. Let's go to Philippians chapter 20. Sorry, not Philippians. Philemon, verse 20. No, my Bible does not have 20 chapters in Philippians. Okay. Philemon, verse 20. It says, yea, brother, let me have joy of thee in the Lord. Then he says, refresh my bowels in the Lord. This, the bowels here, the idea of the heart, the seat of compassion, refresh my bowels in the Lord. Having confidence in thy obedience, I wrote unto thee, knowing that thou wilt also do more than I say. So here, the Apostle Paul, writing, and he's asking, saying, respond here to what I am saying. Follow what I'm saying. And what's going to happen? The Apostle Paul was going to be what? He was going to be refreshed. It was going to bring what to his life? He says, let me have joy of thee in the Lord. All right, and if in this epistle we have Paul writing about Onesimus and saying, if you will respond correctly to this request on my behalf for Onesimus, what was it going to bring? It was going to bring joy into his life. It was going to bring refreshment to him. Finally, notice verse number 7 in the same chapter. So he's writing unto Philemon, and he's saying, for we have great joy and consolation in thy love, because what? The bowels of the saints are refreshed by thee, brother. So here was a man that was bringing refreshment to others, and now the Apostle Paul asks him to bring what? Refreshment to himself. And how is that refreshment going to be brought if Philemon followed through with what the Apostle Paul was requesting for him to do? So we find that right responses to reproof bring refreshment. You know, in the Old Testament, we find that what was one of the purposes of the Sabbath?
Refreshment.
And it wasn't just Let's go to Exodus chapter 23. In verse number 12. Notice who this refreshment was for. It says, 6 days thou shalt do thy work, and on the seventh day thou shalt rest, that thine ox and thine ass may rest, and the son of thy handmaid, and the stranger may be refreshed. And so it was not just for those that were in charge. It was for everyone. They needed what? Refreshment. So that they could continue on. And if they wouldn't be refreshed, you know what? Production can what? Can go down. And it's just a spiritual principle here of not just spiritual, but also a physical principle of refreshment that is needed. And we find in this passage that Titus's spirit was what? Was refreshed how? By the Corinthians' correct response to the reproof that they had been given. Now, do you know that you can refresh the spirit of others? You know, young person, do you know that your life can be a refreshment to your parents? Can give them maybe that extra energy, so to speak, that they need to go forward to accomplish God's will in their lives when you respond correctly to reproof. Also in the Old Testament, in 2 Samuel chapter 16, if you remember the story about David and how he was fleeing from Absalom. And he's fleeing from Absalom, and his army was becoming what? It was becoming weakened. And, well, let's turn there in 2 Samuel chapter 16. And verse 14. It says, and the king and all the people that were with him came weary and refreshed themselves there. And earlier in the chapter, you can read about how this one man brought, in verse number 1, how he came 200 loaves of bread and 100 bunches of raisins and hundreds of summer fruits and 100 of summer fruits and a bottle of wine. All right, and helped, and then here we find that they were refreshed. In 2 Samuel chapter 17, what was the counsel of Ahithophel to Absalom to bring down David? Verse number 2, it says, and I will come upon him while he is weary and weak-handed, and will make him afraid, and all the people that are with him shall flee, and I will smite the king only. So if now the Lord worked that the counsel of Ahithophel was not followed, but if it would have been followed, what would have happened? David would have been brought down. Why? One of the reasons, because his people needed what? To be refreshed. All right, there wasn't that refreshment there. And so the importance of refreshment, here they needed physical refreshment. But here we find in this passage how a right response to correction, a right response to reproof can bring what? Refreshment. But notice we can see from a physical standpoint, if David and his men were not refreshed and they were attacked, what could happen? They could be what? Defeated. And you know, I wonder tonight, young person, how is Satan trying to attack your parents? And I wonder, are you enabling Satan's attack on your parents to be stronger because your attitude towards correction is not bringing the refreshment that their spirit needs in the Lord? You know, Titus was refreshed by the people. You know, it's not just parents or young people to parents, but that can be, I'm sure, each one of you parents know the joy that it is to your spirit and the refreshment that it brings when your child responds correctly. You know, but how about us? When we are confronted with something, do we respond and do we refresh the spirit of others? You know, imagine if this is taking place in a church. Young people are responding to the reproof of parents. You know, we are responding to the reproof of others. And there's going to be what that takes place? There's going to be a refreshing that takes place in our midst. Simply by what? Responding to reproof. So we find right responses to reproof bring refreshment. Let's go back to 2 Corinthians. You know, imagine while you were turning there, imagine if you never had a break from school, young people. Imagine if we had school every day of the week, including Sunday. Never had a summer holiday, never had a Christmas vacation, you had to come to school on Christmas. That wouldn't work too well, would it? Because you need what? You need some refreshment.
So do the teachers.
Yeah, and so do the teachers, especially. Yeah. Everyone would go a little crazy. You know, and the fact is you can bring refreshment when you what? Respond correctly. Is that taking place in your life? It says here, because his spirit was what? Was refreshed by you all. Then verse number 14. For if I have boasted anything to him of you, I am not ashamed. But as we spake all things to you in truth, even so our boasting, which I made before Titus, is found a truth. Now tonight's outline is not an alliterated outline, and this point might be a little bit long. But it says here, the messenger of, I guess my point here is the messenger of reproof is aided by a confidence, by confidence in the positive response of the recipients. Let me say that again. The messenger of reproof is aided or helped by confidence, by having confidence in the positive response of the recipients. What did Paul tell Titus? Paul what? He made a boast, so to speak, that the Corinthians were going to what? Respond to what was being said. And so, what did he say in verse 16? He says, I rejoice, therefore, that I have confidence in you in all things. Now, how do you think Titus would have, I mean, I guess it doesn't, it says, for I boast anything to him of you, I am not ashamed, but as we spake all things to you in truth, even so our boasting, which I made before Titus, is found a truth. What was the boasting? Well, probably that they would what? Respond. Hey, that the Corinthian believers are not the kind of people that are going to run from what is being said. And, I mean, we don't know exactly, I guess, what, you know, Titus was thinking, you know, when he went there. But I think each one of us understands when there's a confidence that there's going to be a response to those that we are talking to. It makes the what? It makes the reproof much easier to give. You know, if you're at a maybe at visiting someone's house for dinner, and if you have a 2-year-old, or maybe you can remember back to when you had a 2-year-old. And maybe the hostess is she's maybe passing out a plate of cookies or something, and you see your son takes a cookie, you know, and then he goes for another cookie, you know, and then he takes his third cookie, and you're thinking, okay, I need to somehow get my 2-year-old to stop taking cookies. All right, now if you know that your 2-year-old is trained, that when you say, you know, he's taking that third cookie he has in his hand, and you say, no more cookies, put that one back. All right? If you know he's going to put it back, it's going to be much easier for you to what, tell him to put the cookie back. But if you know that your two-year-old's got a problem with not putting that cookie back, you know, and you're probably going to have some kind of a discipline session, and you're at a guest house, and it's always harder when you're at your at a guest house, it might alter, so to speak, the way that you're going to, now maybe it shouldn't, but it might alter the way that you what? Give out the command to your two-year-old. You know, maybe instead you're going to walk over there and, well, take it from him, and then you'll have another, you know, big uproar. But, you know, if we're honest, we'd have to say, you know, it might alter the way I give out that command. Although maybe it shouldn't. But here we find the Apostle Paul. Maybe he was probably encouraging Titus in his when he went to them, saying, hey, he boasted of the Corinthians and how and what would happen. And he said, you know what, this boasting which I made before Titus is found a truth. Now notice the fifth point that I'd like to bring here. In verse number 15, it says, and his inward affection is more abundant toward you. We read before about bowels. Well, that's kind of, I believe, the same word here. His inward affection is more abundant toward you. Whilst he remembereth the obedience of you all, how with fear and trembling ye received him. What does obedience bring? Obedience, and hopefully this doesn't come out the wrong way, but obedience brings greater spiritual attachment, or obedience brings a deepening spiritual relationship. You know, imagine if an evangelist comes to a church and he preaches the Word of God and he preaches it straightforward and no one responds. They all sit in their seats. They kind of stare at him like, what are you saying to us? You know, what do you think that evangelist relationship to that church is going to be in the future? What do you think his inward affection towards those people is going to be? Now, probably not the greatest. You know, but he goes to a church and preaches the Word of God, and the people respond, and they respond to the Word of God, and changes are made, and they're fearful and trembling about what is going on in their lives. There's going to be what? A deepening of that relationship. That evangelist is going to have no what about coming back to that church. And so we see here that what does obedience bring? Well, obedience brings a deepening of this spiritual relationship. This his inward affection, it says, is more abundant towards you. Why? Whilst he remembereth the obedience of you all. You know, what does disobedience bring? Does it bring a deepening of, you know, young person, you want a good relationship with your parents? What does disobedience bring? Does that help that relationship? It doesn't, does it? Now, obviously, your parents are still going to love you. But you want a deepening of your relationship. What do you need to do? There needs to be obedience. You know, it's just a simple truth, but notice this refreshment. Notice this inward affection that the Titus had. Why? Because the people obeyed. They received him, what does it say? With fear and trembling. Now, most people would say, whoa, that doesn't sound like too much of a relationship there. They had fear and trembling when Titus came. But you know what? That was the right response, because there was what? Sin that was in their midst that needed to be taken care of. And you know, there ought to be some fear and trembling. And you know, you might say, oh, that person comes around, I'm just afraid. There's some trembling. Well, maybe that's a good thing. Because maybe there's some issues in your life that need to be taken care of. And you know, you want that relationship, so to speak, to be different. Well, how do you need to respond? You need to respond in obedience.
to what needs to take place, to what needs to be done in your life. In 2 John, in our 3 John chapter 1, well, there's only one chapter, 3 John verses 3 and 4. Says here, notice the rejoicing that is taking place. It says, "For I rejoiced greatly when the brethren came and testified of the truth that is in thee, even as thou walkest in the truth. I have no greater joy than to what? To hear that my children walk in truth." You know, but there was one person, verse 9, "I wrote unto the church, but Diotrephes, who loveth to have the preeminence among them, receiveth us not." Verse 10, "Wherefore if I come, I will remember his deeds which he doeth." Do you think this helped the relationship? It didn't, did it? But notice the rejoicing that took place as they walked in truth. 2 John verse 4, "I rejoice greatly that I found of thy children walking in truth, as we have received a commandment from the Father." You know, is that the same rejoicing that could take place in the lives of others because you are walking in truth? Young person, can your parents rejoice because you are walking in truth? You know, can your pastor rejoice because you are walking in truth? Is your life bringing spiritual refreshment that is needed so that when the attacks of Satan come, they can be withstood? Do you understand the blessing, the encouragement tonight that can be brought by simply obeying what you know to be right in your life? The encouragement that you can be to others' lives, the encouragement that it will bring to your life. And do you recognize tonight that your actions affect others? And as much as we live in an individualistic society and we like to think that everything, the choices that I make only affect me, it doesn't work that way in the church. It affects others. And if this church is going to advance spiritually, there needs to be a recognition that our actions affect others. Our obedience encourages others. The right response to reproof brings refreshment in the lives of others. And obedience is what brings a deepening spiritual relationship. Let's bow in a word of prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word that's been given to us. Lord, I pray that you would help us to put it into practice in our lives. Wonder with heads bowed and eyes closed tonight, is the Lord speaking to your heart? How much is your life aiding the spiritual advancement of the church? You know, is there something in your life that you realize needs to be taken care of tonight because it is hindering the spiritual advancement of this church? Maybe you thought that it doesn't affect others, but it does. You know, maybe tonight is just a simple truth that, you know what, obedience brings blessing. It encourages others. And you haven't recognized the great encouragement that your life could be, or maybe young person, you know what, maybe your parents need to be refreshed. And you need to see tonight that not only is your disobedience hindering you from going forward spiritually, but your lack of response to reproof could also be opening the door, could also be, so to speak, strengthening Satan's attack upon your family. You know, that's a serious thing. You know, but what a blessing our lives could be
if we would simply humble ourselves and submit ourselves to God. You say, you know, the Lord has spoken to my heart in one of those areas tonight, and I just want to come to Him tonight and get that area right with Him tonight. Is there anyone like that tonight? The Lord is working in your life. All right, you can put those hands down. Anyone else tonight? Let's bow in prayer. Lord, I pray that You would work in our hearts. May it be an encouragement to others. Lord, as we can see the blessing of putting ourselves, Lord, behind us, so to speak. Lord, learning to submit ourselves one to another in the fear of God. Lord, I pray that this church would go forward spiritually. And Lord, that each one of us would see the important part that our life can play, Lord, in seeing the church go forward. Lord, I pray that our lives, each one of us, Lord, that we would be an encouragement to one another. We pray in Christ's name. Amen.